Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to another episode of Israel Now Radio Show. This is your host, Yahshua Mishadiah. So we're going to start off with the song, and then I'll come back, give some announcements, and then we'll get into the remaining part of the show. All right, shalom, shalom. Welcome again, everybody, to Israel Now Radio Show. This is, again, your host, Yahshua. And first and foremost, just want to give all praise and honor to the Most High Yahweh. And with that being said, I'm going to go right into some announcements that we have. first thing is everyone is welcome to visit our congregation located in Cincinnati, Ohio. The address is 270 Northland Boulevard, Suite 105. We meet every Sabbath day starting at 2 p.m. Also, our brothers down in Fort Worth, Texas, which the address is 2700 Village Creek Drive in Fort Worth, Texas, meeting every Sabbath day at 11 a.m. So come to any congregation and just stop on in. Also, we are down in Louisville, Kentucky, the House of Yah there. If you're in the Louisville, Kentucky area, go to the House of Yah every Sabbath day starting around 4 p.m. Each and every Sabbath day, the House of Yah, Louisville, Kentucky. The address is 4113 South Market Street, Louisville, Kentucky. Any other brothers in the Detroit area, you can visit the Chosen Seed in Detroit also. And also I wanted to let everybody know about the summer gathering that we're having located in Cincinnati, Ohio this year. The details, let me get you the details really quick. Told y'all last week I would give you the details, so we'll give them to you now. All right, the dates are Thursday, June the 28th through Sunday, July the 1st. It's the Hebrew Summer Gathering. Again, that's Thursday, June the 28th through Sunday, July the 1st. All right, make it. You have to make it down. It's going to be a great, great event. I'm getting ready to let you know the details of each and every day. If you can't make it on Thursday, make it on Friday. If you can't make it on Friday, make it on the Sabbath day, you know. And then, so I'm going to let you know on Thursday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., we'll be at the Hebrew Library and Museum. It's located at the Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati, Ohio. And again, for those that don't know, for those who's not that's coming from out of town, that's not aware about the city of Cincinnati, Ohio, there's a Hebrew Union College there. There are only four of these colleges in the entire world. One is in New York, one is in Los Angeles, one is in Jerusalem, and one is in Cincinnati, Ohio. So it's be good to go there, you know, see what you can see, different things like that, the library and museum. Also, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Thursday, will be it's poolside, family fun, you know, for the kids and things like that. You know, kids can swim and all do all the things they're going to do. That will be at the hotel, the guest hotel that a lot of people are staying at that's coming from out of town. And that hotel is, the address is 11778 Cummins Drive, Springdale, Ohio. And remember, if you don't get this stuff now, these shows are always archived where you can go back and listen to them again and again. Okay. So from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., it'll be the meet and greet. So everybody meet each other from all over the country, all different congregations, but we're all one nation, the nation of Israel. All right. And then from 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. will be at Dave and Buster's. You know, just, of course, more, just more family fun. And that's the lineup for Thursday. All right. For Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., we'll be out on the streets teaching our people in the city of Cincinnati. We'll meet at Fountain Square, downtown Cincinnati, Ohio. Meet at Fountain Square between those hours. Also, on Friday, between the hours of 1 p.m. and 3:30 p.m., we'll be at Newport on the Levee, just cross over the bridge. Just a lot of fun things to do there. From 4:30 to 5, anyone that wants to be baptized will be able to get baptized at that time. It'll be at the guest hotel. All right, from 6:30 to 8:30, it'll be more family fun and activities. We will be at Pleasant Hill Academy. The address to there is 1350 West North Bend Road, Cincinnati, Ohio. That's from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And then from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., we'll still be at the same place, Pleasant Hill Academy, which is an elementary school in Cincinnati. And it'll be poetry, y'all music, various artists and poets and things like that. We'll have a great time. I know last year, Friday night during this time, it was like a great concert of people praising the Most High YAH, different artists that I've never seen before, never heard before, from around the country, brothers from Cleveland, you know, Isaiah Yahoo, and just all these different brothers that came and brought their music. It was real great, from Yahuda Shalom and Yosef and all these different artists. Was very, very great, a very great thing. Some of the sisters from Michigan came with beautiful garments and did a lot of praise dancing and things like that, just praising the Most High. It was a great time. And then the Sabbath day, we will be at the same address, which is the Pleasant Hill Academy, at 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. We'll have a spiritual call. So we won't meet. Let me rephrase that. We're not going to be at Pleasant Hill Academy at 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. It'll just be a spiritual call from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. All right, so you can call in on the Sabbath day during that time and listen in to the spiritual call. The numbers to that is 605-475-4700, extension 654-646, pound. And then from 12 p.m. all the way to 8 p.m., will be the Sabbath gathering, and that will be at Pleasant Hill Academy from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the Sabbath day. And then on Sunday, we'll have the marketplace, which will be from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's where different Hebrews can sell, you know, the different items that they make and different things like that, whether it's fringes or garments or, you know, different clothes or whatever you have. Just make sure everything is good. Make sure everything is up to par as far as the commandments of the Most High. And what I mean by that is if you're selling clothes, make sure the clothes are 100%, not of mixed garments and things like that. I don't even know if all Israel are aware of that, but anybody that's listening to this show should be. So that's the lineup for the Hebrew Summer Gathering. And, of course, just wanted to go through that real quick. But now, all right, so let me get into my topic real quick for today. I wanted to talk about the Most High's name. You know, a lot of y'all may know the Most High's name, but a lot of Israel don't know the Most High's name. And especially a lot of Israel that are unconscious has no idea what the Most High's name is. A lot of Israel that are in Islam or different forms of Christianity, but even a lot of our people, like I said before, that even know that we are Israel, do not acknowledge the Most High's true name. So it's a lot of things, you know, going around that I wanted to kind of touch on and address. So to start off, I want to go to the book of Psalms 119, Psalms 119 chapter. And if you can turn there with me in your scriptures, you will find something in Psalms 119. What you will find there is the Hebrew alphabet is located in Psalms 119. So you look at the very first headline, it says Aleph, A-L-E-P-H. After verse 8, you'll see where it says Bet. All right, when you go down to after verse 16, it says Gamel. After verse 24, it says Dalet. These are the Hebrew alphabet, okay? Aleph, Bet, Gamel, Dalet, Hey, Wah. These are the Hebrew alphabet. In some scriptures, it'll even show you a picture of what each letter looks like. In some scriptures or some Bibles, it'll only tell you the name of each letter. But even when it shows you a picture of what each letter looked like, they're going to give you a picture of a modern Hebrew letter and not an ancient Hebrew letter. You know, you'll pretty much have to go to like an ancient Hebrew teacher to really get the ancient Hebrew letters, because they don't put them in these modern Bibles. They only put them in, even when they do put a picture, they're only putting modern Hebrew and not ancient Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew that our great ancestor Moses wrote the Torah in. They don't use that Hebrew in these scriptures. So when you go all the way through, you know, you'll find that it's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, but you'll also find when you do any research that none of these letters makes a J sound. So we know those false names are out because there's no letter that makes the J sound in Hebrew. But aside from that, because most Hebrews know that, right? Most of our people that understand that we are the children of Israel, scattered to the four corners of the earth, most of our people understand the simple fact that I just quoted. But let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 3, because this is something that is a stumbling block to the children of Israel right here, because the Almighty's name is powerful. The Almighty's name is something that we should use. But now we have brothers all over the country going to Exodus 3 and saying that they found the Most High's name in Exodus chapter 3. And I would have to totally agree that the Most High's name is in Exodus chapter 3. But I would also have to totally disagree with the name that they say it is when they read Exodus chapter 3. So all we have to do is, like I tell y'all all the time, we're going to let the scripture speak for itself, right? We don't have to add to. We don't have to take away. All we got to do is look at it and let the scripture speak for itself. Let your spirit penetrate this book and penetrate these words. Don't worry about what somebody else said and all the different stuff. That's how we got sidetracked in the first place. You know, we got sidetracked in the first place. But this scripture, Exodus chapter 3, and I'm going to start at the 13th verse down to the 15th verse, and it definitely testifies to the Most High's name. It definitely was going to tell you what the Almighty's name here. So let's check this out. And I want to share this teaching with Israel all over the country, and hopefully we can wake up a lot of our people to stop using a name that the Almighty never said was his name. All right, so Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto Elohim, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the Elohim of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? He just asked a question. What is his name? And there's a question mark. Now I'm going to keep reading. What shall I say unto them? He just asked another question. And there's another question mark. You're never going to understand this scripture of verses 14 and 15 if you don't understand verse 13. And what I found is that many of our people out there did not understand verse 13. They read verse 13 and they thought that Moses only asked one question. If you think that Moses only asked one question, you're not going to understand what the Almighty's answer is in verse 14 and 15. But the minute that you recognize that Moses actually asked two questions and the Almighty is about to proceed to answer both of those questions, then you're going to understand what the Almighty's true name is. All right, now watch this. I'm going to pick up at the latter part of verse 13 again for those that don't know and for those that didn't get it, for those that have been heavily indoctrinated on the fact that they was told the Almighty's name is Ahaya, Ashur, Ahaya. We're going to see if that's what the Almighty is saying here. So the latter part of verse 13, it says, the Elohim of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? That's one question. What shall I say unto them? That's another question. Now watch verse 14. The Almighty is about to answer one of those questions. But the question that he is about to answer is the question of what shall I say unto them. He's not about to answer what is his name first. He answered the latter question first. Watch verse 14. And Elohim said unto Moses, I am that I am. Now, a lot of people stop and say, see, he said that's his name. He didn't say that. Watch. Verse 14 again. And Elohim said unto Moses, I am that I am. Or in Hebrew, it would be Ahaya, Ashur, Ahaya. Then it says, and he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. So he just answered the question of when Moses asked in the 13th verse, what shall I say unto them? He just answered that question. And what did he want Moses to say unto them? Ahaya, Ashur, Ahaya. Well, why did he want Moses to say that to them? Because in ancient Hebrew, and I'm not talking modern Hebrew right now, I'm talking ancient Hebrew, the phrase, which is not a name, but the phrase Ahaya, Ashur, Ahaya means to exist, to be, to exist. So what the Almighty was saying is that I am the one that had always existed, because our people has previously known about all these Egyptian deities, because they just came out of Egypt, and one deity was born out of the water, and another deity was born from an egg, and another deity was born from two males, homosexuality, and different things like that. And all these different deities in Egypt, they all had starting dates. They all had birth dates, but the Almighty just separated himself from all the Egyptian deities when he said, tell the people, Ahaya, Ashur, Ahaya. That means to exist, to be, to exist. So all he was saying is, I have always existed, separating himself from anyone and anything else. Because what other being doesn't have a start date? The Almighty was never born. The Almighty never had a start date. The Almighty was always here. There was never a time that the Almighty did not exist. So wrap your head around that. Human beings can't even understand that, because all we know is a beginning of time. All we know is something has to come from somewhere. Something has to start somewhere. But no, we have a being whose rightful name is Yahweh, who has always existed. There was never a point in time in history where the Almighty did not exist. And people can't even understand that. So check out verse 14 again. It says, and Elohim said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. Now he just answered the question of what he shall say. Then he says, I am have sent me unto you. That's what he wants you to say to the children of Israel. I am that I am. To say that to the children of Israel. I am have sent me unto you. Now watch verse 15. Now he's going to answer the first question. And what was the first question? What is his name? Look at verse 15. And Elohim said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Yahweh Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So when you look in the 15th verse and you see what he said, moreover, unto Moses, when it says, thus, in the 15th verse, when it says, and Elohim said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Yahweh Elohim of your fathers. When you look at the word Lord right there, the Hebrew is Yahweh. So right there, he said in verse 15, Yahweh Elohim of your fathers has sent me unto you. Then he said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he said, this is my name forever and my memorial to all generations. So even in the one verse that the people use to say the Almighty's name is Ahaya, they still got that wrong. The Almighty, even in that verse, said that his name is Yahweh. His name is these four Hebrew letters, which is known as the Tetragrammaton, a Yod, a He, a Wah, and a He, which in English is a YHWH. That's the Almighty's name. And that same name was used 6,823 times from Genesis to Malachi. 6,823 times. And all through the scriptures, that name was used. Now, how many times was Ahaya used? First of all, Ahaya wasn't a name, I just told you. And it was only used, this is the only place that they go to try to make up something that's a name. That is definitely not a name. And in modern Hebrew, that phrase would be to be, it'll be, I will be what I will be. But like I said, in ancient Hebrew, it means to exist, to be, to exist. And we deal more heavily with the ancient Hebrew. All right. So just looking at that, and you want to weigh the two sides, even if a person did believe that's what that said, based on what we just showed, it clearly showed that that wasn't what the Almighty said. But even if you don't get it, even if you don't understand that, how do you take one verse over 6,823 times throughout the scriptures just because somebody told you that that was implanted and showed you no proof? There is no proof for that. Just like the Dead Sea Scrolls was just discovered. They've been buried for thousands of years, but when they dug them up, guess what name what was there? The name Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh, the name Yahweh. So nobody couldn't have went and tampered with that. They just found them. They just dug them up. And this is the thing. We don't want to hear nothing about a translation. We don't want to hear nothing about his name is J-E-H-O-V-A-H, none of this other stuff. Why? Because the children of Israel, our ancestors, the people who the name was given to, never translated the Almighty's name. Let me say that again. The children of Israel, the Almighty's chosen people, the black people that's been scattered to America on slave ships, and in Haiti, and in Cuba, and in Jamaica, and in Brazil, and in Ethiopia, known as the Falasha, and in Iraq, and in India, known as the Dalits or the Untouchables, the true children of Israel, the black people with woolly hair that fits all the curses outlined in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, who was promised to be captive in a land that our forefathers never knew about, a land that our forefathers know not of. Well, what land is that? The land that we're in currently today. How do we know that? Because he said you're going to go to captivity in a land that you nor your fathers have not known. So it couldn't have been none of the previous captivities. It couldn't have been Egypt. We just came out of Egypt. It couldn't have been Assyria because we knew about Assyria. It's in the book of Genesis. It's in the Torah. It couldn't have been talking about Medo-Persia. We knew about that place. Couldn't have been talking about Crete and Rome. We knew about those places as well. They were all written of before we came to this captivity. So I'm saying that to say what? Back to the point at hand. And the point at hand is this. Our people never translated the Almighty's name. So don't let nobody give you nothing about a translation. We have an English Bible today that the Europeans were in control of. And the Europeans put L-O-R-D in place of the Almighty's name. But every time in history where it was a purely Israelite translation, they didn't translate the Almighty's name. Let me give you a couple of facts. One of the earliest or one of the first translations is known as the Septuagint. What is the Septuagint? The word Septuagint means 70. Sub means 70. But in truth, it was roughly around 72 Israelites who translated this work thousands of years ago. And what they did, they translated all of the scriptures that were then that they had then at that time from ancient Hebrew into Greek. Why did they do that? Because many Israelites at that time, especially the ones lived in Alexandria, Egypt at that time, they only spoke Greek and they only could read Greek because they were cut off from the Hebrew language at that time. So they needed scriptures that they could read, the Israelites in Alexandria, Egypt. And so these 72 Israelites that could read Greek and Hebrew, they took the Hebrew scriptures and they translated everything from Hebrew into Greek. They translated every single word from Hebrew into Greek, except for one word. Every single word that could be translated in the Hebrew into Greek, they translated it, except for one word. And guess what that one word was? The Almighty's name. They never used Greek characters to write the Almighty's name. Everything else, they translated in the Greek letters and the Greek characters, you know, except the Almighty's name. When it came to the Almighty's name, they left it in ancient Hebrew letters, the same four ancient Hebrew letters, Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh. What does that tell us? That's teaching us something. That's teaching us that we just read in the 15th verse of Exodus where the Almighty said, "This is my name and my memorial to all generations." They understood that the Almighty meant that. The Almighty said, "Don't change my name. Don't touch it. Leave it alone." And that's what we need to do. That's why right now we speak English, and I'm speaking to you in total English. But when I come to the Almighty's name and I know his name was there, I say Yahweh, because the Almighty said, this is my name and my memorial unto all generations. We don't change the name to a title like Lord. We don't change the name to a title or phrase like Ahaya. That is a part of taking the Almighty's name in vain. If you don't use the Almighty's name, Yahweh, you're taking his name in vain. If you exclusively never use it, you're taking it in vain. When we have emphatic proof that this is the Almighty's name. What does it mean to take the Almighty's name in vain? What does the word vain mean? The word vain means meaningless, useless. That's what it means. So when you never use it, when the Almighty instructed us to use it, then you took it in vain. You made it useless. You made it worthless. You made it meaningless. These are the definitions of the word vain. So if you never use it, you broke the commandment. You took his name in vain. When we have a lot of scriptures where the Almighty let us know to use his name and to call upon his name. And all of our people did that. And the Almighty was a help in the time of need. All right, so we're looking at that as far as Exodus 3. Don't let nobody tell you this says the Almighty's name is Ahaya. It's a total misunderstanding of the word of the Most High, total misunderstanding of what it is and what's written. All right, let me go to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Because Yahushua instructed the people to do something. Check out the 19th verse. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. So if you're supposed to baptize in the Most High's name and you don't know the Most High's name, how are you going to do this? Because according to Exodus 3, his name is not Ahaya. That doctrine should be looked at again. Send this, share this, this radio recording that we're doing tonight to all the people who believe his name is Ahaya and question them on this. Read the same verse that they're going to take you to and question them on it. And then when you question them on that and they don't ever answer, then they're going to say this to you. They're going to say that Yah, I heard that Yah was a moon god in Egypt. Then you say, prove it. They can't prove it. All they're going to find is some information about some Egyptian moon deity named Lah, right? But then the scriptures even testify to the fact. Should I read it? I'm not going to read it. I'm going to quote it. I'm sure y'all know. When Moses was going through and doing those plagues, and the Most High was using Moses to bring those plagues about in Egypt. And the Most High would go to Pharaoh and tell him, Yahweh said, let my people go. What was Pharaoh's response one of those times? Pharaoh said, I don't know no Yahweh. Didn't he say that? Well, if that was the name of a moon deity, he would have said, oh, yeah, I know that God. That's our moon deity God. Pharaoh said, he's the king of Egypt. He know all the Egyptian deities. But Moses came to him and said, Yahweh Elohim, the Elohim of the Israelites, said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, I don't know no Yahweh. He said, I don't know no God named Yahweh. He not on our pantheon of lists, which crushes their whole theory of Yah being a moon deity. And then after you crush that, then they're going to say this. Then they're going to say, well, I've seen some pictures, and I know that the fake Jews use that name in part of their Kabbalah and different things like that. But what they don't know is the fake Jews use the same name that they say is his name too in their Kabbalah. And the name that they use, which is not a name, but the fake Jews also use Ahaya as well. They use Ahaya, Ashur Ahaya as well in their whole Kabbalah thing. It's called Keter, this thing they do. It's just a bunch of nonsense. But anyway, in the fake Jew stuff, the name that they use is even a higher name to them than the name, the true name of the Most High, Yahweh. And after you tell them that and show them that, the only thing left they're going to do is show you a couple of pictures of, it just don't make no sense. It ain't even worth saying. But anyway, Yahweh is the Almighty's name, testifies all throughout the scriptures, testifies through archaeology. But let me give you another historical proof. Another historical proof is this. I mentioned earlier, the Dead Sea Scrolls, all right? Like I said, these things were buried for thousands of years and dug up. And what did these things say? It said the Almighty's name was Yahweh. But not only that, a lot of the Dead Sea Scrolls were not written in ancient Hebrew. A lot of the Dead Sea Scrolls was written in Aramaic. Because after the time of our captivity, you know, after the Babylonian captivity, our people came back to Jerusalem, started reading and writing in Aramaic. We still retained the ancient Hebrew somewhat, but our main day-to-day language was Aramaic. Now, a lot of people in America can't understand this today because a lot of us, they done dumbed our people down so much that we only speak and read one language. But when you start traveling across the world, you go to Africa, a different place, you find out many people actually speak and read more than one language. That was a common thing. You know, it was a common thing in that day. You know, they'll have like a main language, then they may have another language, like a tribal language or something like that. As many people, you know, to speak one, two, three, four, and even five languages. All right, so during that time, that's how it was when we came back from the Babylonian captivity. The main language we would use on a day-to-day basis was Aramaic. It was no longer Hebrew. All right, but we still retained the Hebrew, and we still used it. But our main day-to-day language was Aramaic. But anyway, let me get to the point. My point is this. A lot of our scriptures after that time, after the Babylonian captivity, were no longer written solely in Paleo-Hebrew, i.e. our ancient Hebrew. They were written in Aramaic. And when books like Jeremiah was written, it was written in Aramaic. Isaiah, Aramaic. All of these books were written in Aramaic. But they did the exact same thing that was done in the Septuagint. Even though they were written in Aramaic, all Aramaic letters, all Aramaic script, when it came to one word and one word only, and that word is the Almighty's name, they never wrote the Almighty's name in Aramaic letters. They never wrote the Almighty's name in Aramaic characters or anything else. They wrote the Almighty's name in ancient Hebrew or Paleo-Hebrew. So what does that tell us? That tells us we're on the right path. That tells us that even though we're reading English, and if you pick up a King James Version Bible, which most people have, and it says L-O-R-D, Lord, we don't use that because we know when you do 5 minutes worth of study that whenever you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in the King James Version Bible, 5 minutes worth of research will let you know that the original Hebrew, the Almighty's name was there. That's why they put it in all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Therefore, we don't allow the Europeans to change the Almighty's name. We don't allow another nation or heathen to change the Almighty's name. When we know these facts, we still replace the Almighty's name in that fact. Whether you buy a book that replaces it, which many scriptures do, not replace it, let me use the correct word, restore it. That's what it's done, is actually restoring what was originally there. Not replacing, but restoring. But even if we don't, if we're not currently reading the book where it's restored, then we restore it in our own mind. And you practice this, and you get used to doing this. You get used to when you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D together, that you say the name Yahweh. And that's what we do. And that's how we do. But let's look at Psalms 148 and verse 13. Because run through a couple verses, and then I'm going to go to the phone lines after that. So she already got one caller that want to speak. So anybody else, go ahead and push one down if you have anything to say. And then I'm going to run through a few scriptures and then go to the call lines. So let me get to the book of Psalms real quick. Psalms 148 chapter, and I'm going to read the 13th verse, Psalms 148 and 13. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. So the Almighty's name is excellent. And what does it say there? His name is Yahweh. Just look it up in Hebrew. Did it say Ahaya Ashar Ahaya? No, it didn't. It said Yahweh. I told you 6,823 times. Let's go to Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16. See what name is there. Again, whenever you see capital L-O-R-D, it says Yahweh in the original Hebrew. So Exodus 9 and the 16th verse. And in very deep, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show thee in thy power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. So the Almighty wants his name to be declared throughout all the earth. And who are the people declaring his name throughout all the earth right now? It's definitely not the Christians, because they say Lord, God, and Jesus. It's definitely not the Muslims, because they say Allah. Allah is just a title that means God. Which God are you talking about? It's definitely not the people, the Israelites, that say Ahaya, Ashar Ahaya, because there's no proof that that's the Almighty's name. We went to the one verse that they use and totally destroyed that understanding, totally destroyed that doctrine. And it's definitely not the Khazars, because they don't even say the name. They're afraid to say the name. They made up a whole doctrine that you're not supposed to say the name, because they know that Yahweh is not their Elohim. That's why they don't say the name. So instead, they call him Hashem. What does Hashem mean? Hashem means the name. How do you just call him the name? What name? What name are you talking about? That's literally what it says and means in Hebrew. Hashem is the name. If you talk to any one of them, just like we restore the Almighty's name, when we see L-O-R-D, we say Yahweh. Well, when they see L-O-R-D, they say Hashem, which only means the name. Doesn't make any sense. And even the ones that read Hebrew, they can clearly see it says Yahweh right there. They can clearly see it's four letters, and the first letter is a yod from right to left, and the yod makes the Y sound, and they still say Hashem, because they've been indoctrinated, just like Christians have been indoctrinated. Indoctrination is very strong. The Catholic Church did an experiment a long time ago, and they realized we don't have to change nothing in the scriptures because tradition is stronger than truth. They realized we could leave all these Sabbath scriptures intact in the scriptures and give it to them, and they still going to wake up every Sunday morning, get dressed to go and worship when they totally neglected the Sabbath day. Because tradition is stronger than truth. And this is a fact. This is a fact of human psychology. This is how most humans are. But the Almighty always picked certain individuals that the Almighty will wake up and send to the people. But guess what happened to those individuals? What happened to Jeremiah? What happened to Isaiah? What happened to Hosea? What happened to all these prophets? The majority of the people never listened to them. They thought they was crazy. They thought they didn't know what they was talking about. The Almighty said, you don't listen to none of my prophets. You stone and kill all the prophets. They keep coming to try to tell you the truth all the time. There's no difference today. Every time we try to tell our family members, our friends who stuck in Christianity about the truth, they say, oh, you're in a cult. You don't know what you're talking about. And all we do is read the book that they claim to go by. That's it. That's all we do. So here's Exodus chapter 17 and verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Yahweh Nisi. Right? So what happened, you go through the story, and Christians will say that this was another name. So it wasn't another name. Nisi means something. Yahweh is the name. And then Nisi just means provider, because the Almighty provided at that time. This is why we say Yah is my provider. Yah is my help. Yah is my strength. That doesn't mean these are whole other names. The Almighty actually came through for us. So we're saying the Most High is my strength, or Yah is my strength, Yah is my provider. So just to touch on that as well, because I know a lot of people say that the Most High has many names, right? So as far as name, the word name in Hebrew actually just means character. So sometimes you'll see certain things dealing with the Almighty character that you'll see in the English that the name is used, but it's not like name, like a personal name. It just means, just like I'll give you an example, the scripture says the Almighty's name is jealous. That's because the Almighty is jealous over his people. But his name is not jealous. They never called him jealous all throughout the scripture. But a right understanding of that actually means this is one of the Most High's character, that if you go worshiping other deities, the Almighty's going to get jealous. And when the Almighty gets jealous, he's going to punish you. And that's all it's talking about. All right. Let's go to the book of Isaiah 29 and verse 23. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 23. Isaiah 29 and 23 says, "But when he seeth the children, his children, the work of my hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the Elohim of Israel." So the Almighty's name is supposed to be sanctified. What does the word sanctify mean? It means set apart. Now, in all of these examples that I've given you, wasn't the Almighty's name set apart when the Septuagint was translated by 70 or 72 Israelites? Didn't they set the Almighty's name apart? Because they translated every Hebrew word into Greek except for the Almighty's name, Yahweh. They sanctified his name. They set it apart. They refused to put his name in Greek characters, right? When the Aramaic was written, right, when the Dead Sea Scrolls, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all these different books was originally written, and when we found them, when they were found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and you look at them and you say, wait a minute, this is written in all Aramaic. Everything is Aramaic except when it comes to the Almighty's name is ancient Hebrew characters. They sanctified the Almighty's name. So now when we read in English, the same children of Israel, the same seed of Jacob, just scattered to all around the world, fulfilling all of the curses that the Almighty said we would go to, through what do? We sanctify the Almighty's name by picking up these books in English and reading these English words. But when it comes to the Almighty's name, we still say Yahweh, just as our people have always done. We sanctify the Almighty's name. We're the only people that sanctify the Almighty's name, the true seed of the Most High, the Almighty's true people who truly love the Almighty and do what the Almighty requires, keep his commandments. These people are few among the masses of the earth. But that being said, I'm going to get ready to go to the phone lines in 1 second. So anybody have a question or comment, just push number one. I'll get you right on. I think I had a caller on, but push one again. You'll show up on my screen to let me know you had a question or comment, because I don't see you right now. But just push one again, and I'll get you right on as soon as you come back on. But until you come back on, I'll read some more scriptures. We can go to Isaiah 42 and 8. Let's go there. Book of Isaiah, chapter 42, and verse 8. It says, "I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." So I've heard it said a lot of times that nowhere did the Almighty say his name was anything else in the scriptures besides Ahaya. Well, what is this saying right here? When he clearly says, "I am Yahweh, this is my name." So it's just our people, man. You can't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. What happens in these days, somebody go home, they turn on a computer, they watch a YouTube video, and they eat up everything the person said. They just soak it up. You know, you can't do that. You got to learn to study. You got to learn to really study and check things out for yourself, because everybody is saying something, and everybody's saying something different. And most of them are saying stuff that can't be backed up. with fact. They can't be backed up with scripture. They can't be backed up with truth. And that's just a fact, you know. That's just a fact of the matter. So where we at? Isaiah 48 and 2. Let's go to Exodus 17 and 15. And don't forget, we got about 10 more minutes left on the show. So if you want to get in and make a comment, ask a question, go ahead and get in now, and I'll definitely get you right on. But Exodus 17 and 15. Says, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Yahweh Nisi. Just like before, same thing, but let's go to Isaiah 52 and 6. Let's go there. Book of Isaiah, chapter 52, and verse 6. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. So the Almighty said, my people shall what? Know my name. So, and this is for, you know, a lot of the people that say, hopefully we proved that already to say, well, we speak English, so we're going to say this and that. We're going to call the Messiah by English name. We're going to call the Most High by English name and this and that. So let's just touch on this Messiah's name real quick. So the Messiah's true name is Yahweh Shah, according to the ancient Hebrew. But some people will say, well, we're going to call him J-E-S-U-S because we speak English. But the problem with that is the name that they're calling him is not an English name. That's a Latin name. So that's not an excuse. If you speak English, how come you could call him by a Latin name, but you can't call him by what his name really is, an English name? Doesn't make any sense. But let's go to the phone lines. Area code 513. Shalom, shalom. You on the air? Shalom, shalom. Shalom, 513. You on the air? Can you hear me? Maybe she hit it by accident. So if you want to come on, just push one and go off my cue. Then push one, come back on, and I'll get you on. All right? I'll get you right on. But anybody else want to get on, push number one. And, all right, so, yeah, so what I was saying, pretty much dealing with the Messiah's name, you know, people say that's his name, and their excuse is, well, even different Israelite congregations do that, and they use the excuse to say, well, we speak English. But then you'll have to get an English name to call him then, because the name you're calling him is not an English name. You're calling him by a Latin name. So why can't you call him by a Hebrew name if you could call him by a Latin name? But area code 586, shalom, shalom. You on the air?
Hi. I was just calling in reference to what you were just saying about using the name J-E-S-U-S. Yeah. Like an argument that I heard was quoting Malachi 1:11, saying that his name would be, like, great among the Gentiles. And, like, the argument was proposed that, like, that's the name that's great. You know, like, you know, everybody uses that name. So okay. I was just wondering, like, how to address that because I'm not exactly sure.
Okay, okay. Well, pretty much his name will be great among the Gentiles. That still doesn't mean that's his name. So the name, so what they're trying to say is that, I guess they're just saying that that's the name that all the Gentiles know him as, pretty much. But that's even not even the case. They're just dealing with America because Gentiles are all over the world. And the Gentiles that don't speak English don't know him as that name. The Gentiles that are in Muslim countries know him as Isa. The Gentiles that are in Hebrew countries, like that speak like Hebrew, even modern Hebrew, know him as Yeshua. The Gentiles that are in, you understand my point? So when we understand and read the scriptures and we read prophecies, you can't just think of just your world. And that's what people are doing too much. When this, when his name shall be great among the Gentiles, that is only, that name that they're talking about is only for America. are different English-speaking countries. But the whole world, you know, you go to Japan, you go to all these different places, they heard of him, but they don't call him that name. So it basically voids out their argument by looking at that, by looking at it in that light. But one other thing I want to bring up concerning that is this. Give me 1 second because I want to try to find it. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
And what scripture was that you say? It was in Malachi, right?
It was Malachi 1:11.
Malachi 1:11. All right, give me a second.
Okay.
Okay. Let me see. Now, I may have to come back to it. Well, I'll just kind of quote off my memory. But that name in and of itself was only used for the past, since like the 1700s. And Malachi, the book of Malachi was written thousands of years ago. So we have to ask ourselves, if your explanation,
yeah, to your point.
You understand what I'm saying? Right. That name was only used for the past 300 years. I think it was like 1739, something like that. I'll tell you, I'm just getting the memory off the top of my head, but it was the Oxford, what was the Oxford, Cambridge Press or something like that. They were the first ones to come out with a Bible with that spelling of the Messiah's name, J-E-S-U-S, that we know today. They were the first ones to do it, and it was in like the 1700s. So that's only been 300 years that he's been called that. You know, only for 300 years, but really not even 300 years, because when they first wrote it that way, they didn't even pronounce it the way we pronounce it today, number one. And number two, in the very first Bibles in English, his name was spelled I-E-S-U-S. And then later, like I said, in the 1700s, through the Oxford Cambridge Press, they wrote the J, they replaced the I with a J and started writing it J-E-S-U-S. And if I'm not mistaken, based on my research, because there's many Mexican guys running around here right now with that same name, and they all pronounce it Jesus, because that is how you pronounce that name. It's a Latin name, and that's the correct way to pronounce it. So that's why, you know, I would say Jesus. But that's the reason we know that it's a name of another deity, because they even pronounce it differently. They don't even stick to the rules of pronunciation, the rules of the language when it comes to that name. They have a whole nother pronunciation. And the main problem, the last thing I'll say is the main problem I have with it is this. Everyone that claims to believe in the Messiah, they call him by that name, have a lot of trouble with keeping the Almighty's laws. And I'm talking about even when it comes to most Israelite congregations that claim to keep the law, I know a lot of them, when they use that name, they tend to not keep certain laws. You know, they tend to not keep a lot of laws, but other verbs that actually use the Hebrew name, because it's a spirit that goes along with words. It's power and a spirit that goes along with every word. That's why you shouldn't speak negative. That's why the scripture says death and life is in the power of the tongue. Whatever you say carries a spirit. If you're saying false names, they carry a spirit as well. And the spirit of that name is a lawless deity. It's the spirit of that name. And I can get into that a little more later. But that's all I'm saying. Just kind of looking at it, that light on the whole world and not just America, not just their Christian denomination that they grew up in.
You know, and that was a helpful answer for me, because I never even thought about, like the name's not that old. So when that scripture was written, no one was saying J-E-S-U-S at all.
Not until the 1700s. Right. Not until 1739, 1759, something like that. Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly. Yep. You're welcome, sis. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
All right. So I'm going to go to another caller. Area code 513. Shalom, shalom. You on the air?
Hey, I had a question. You mentioned, you know, how they change the name or change different words in like Greek and English or whatever, every word except for his name. Is there a reason? Like, is it out of fear, or what's the reason that they did not change that particular, like, his actual name versus changing every single word in the other, you know, outside of that? Is there a reason why?
Okay. Well, yeah, let me just be clear. I'm not saying that they changed every other word. I said they translated every other word, meaning
okay.
The scriptures was written in English. The scriptures was written in Hebrew, and they translated the scriptures from the Hebrew language into the Greek language. So just so the people that speak and read Greek can understand it. But what I'm saying is when they came to the Almighty's name, they never used Greek letters to write the Most High's name. That's the only thing they did not change. They still use Hebrew letters when they came to the Most High's name. That makes sense?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And then
and
I kind of want to clarify.
So my point of saying that, and that's a fact of history, and my point of bringing that out was saying that that's a good example for us to do the exact same thing. Even though most of us are not speaking Hebrew as our forefathers and foremothers did, but when it comes to the Almighty's name, we should still, write and pronounce the Almighty's name the same way that our forefathers left us a righteous example of doing. And that's the reason why when we read an English Bible and when it comes to the Most High name, we don't say Lord. You know, we would say Yahweh. So that was what I was saying. But go ahead.
Okay. And I wanted a clarification actually on, so, okay, here it says, it's in 2 Chronicles 7:14, stating basically his people are called by his name. So I guess what I'm trying to ask, I got a list of like different names and like, I get to like, let me pick one out. Isaiah, for instance. We know it's spelled Isaiah. But I guess the Hebrew name would be Yeshayah. Yeshayah. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. But so back in like around our forefathers' time or whatever, were all like the Israelites' name, it had Yah in it? And like, should we still be following that today?
Not all of them had Yah in it, but a whole lot of them did have Yah in it. Just like many Israelites have Yah in their name today, once they realize who they are and they take on a Hebrew name, a lot of them still have Yah in their name today. So not all of them did back then, but a lot of them did. And that's partly what the Almighty meant by that. My people shall be called by my name. But that carries more than just that one meaning. Because as I said earlier during the lesson, that the word name actually means character. When you look into the Hebrew, it means character and authority. And also what he was saying is my people, the children of Israel, these are the people that carry my authority and carry my character throughout the earth. Because we were the only people that the Almighty exclusively commanded and gave his law to. So we were the people that was carrying his authority and character throughout the earth by showing forth these righteous laws that the Almighty had us to keep, which he didn't give to any other nation of people. So that scripture would be twofold. It would be twofold in explaining both of those, the character and also the many Israelites whose name did have Yah in it, such as Isaiah, Yahshua, Yahawasha, Yahoshua, all the jobs either at the beginning or end of the name.
Okay. I think so. Makes sense. So it basically goes back to as far as like the translation, whether you're talking Hebrew, Greek, English,
right.
It really doesn't have an effect on like, you know, following the commandments and whatnot to not have that name particularly. Within your name.
What?
Or is it. Like,
what
are we not following the
again?
Commandments? All right, so, like, a lot of people, they're changing their names as they seek, you know, and finding the truth. So, if someone decide not to. Because I actually ran across somebody, they're in the truth or whatever, but they don't want to change their name because they feel like they're not. I guess in the most respect way, respecting their father because they're someone named after their earthly father. So is that like, is that something he despised? Like, is she putting like her earthly father above the Most High as far as like when it comes to naming, or does that even matter, you know?
Okay. That's a good question. Let me take you to this scripture to clarify. Then I'll clarify. Let's go to, let me think. I think I want to go to Isaiah chapter 44.
Okay.
It sounds like you may be in the car, so you may not be able to read along with me, but that's fine. I'm going to read it for you. Isaiah chapter 44.
I'm right in the
middle. Okay. And let me see. I want to start at the fifth verse, Isaiah 44 and 5. I think that's all we need. It says, and this is a prophecy concerning how our people, the children of Israel, will be in the latter days because we've been cut off from our name. But look what it says. One shall
you
say,
Isaiah 44. What's the verse? Because I can put, I'm on a chapter.
Verse number five.
Okay, I'm on it.
Okay, it says, one shall say, I am Yahweh's. And another shall call his name, call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto Yahweh, and surname himself by the name of Israel. So this is a prophecy concerning what our people will do, and our people is doing it right now today. If you get on Facebook, you look at Israelites all over this country, probably 99% of us was not born with these Hebrew names that we call each other right now in the day, right?
Uh-huh.
We're calling each other these names because of this prophecy. We're fulfilling prophecies and not even knowing it. So let me read again. It says, one shall say, I am Yahweh's. So somebody might just say, look, I belong to the Most High, because changing your name to a Hebrew name is not a commandment. What you read in Chronicles was good. And it's good to change your name back to why carry the name of your oppressor and this and that, but it's not a commandment. We can't say we're breaking the law if we don't do it. It's not a commandment. Because remember, whenever we say something is a commandment, it must be found in the law books. The law books are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. If you read something in Chronicles, you're actually just reading something that happened, or you're reading something, you understand what I'm saying, but you're not reading a piece of Torah or instructions. So let me go back to this verse, verse 5. So it says, and one shall say, I am Yahweh's. So that's what some of our people are saying right now. They still being called by the same name that they was born, whether it's George, Jeffrey, whatever their name is, but they say, I belong to the Most High, Yahweh. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just fine, right? But then it says, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another is saying, look, I'm a descendant of Israel. I'm a descendant of Jacob, right, which all of us are saying today. But then it says,
uh-huh.
And another shall subscribe with his hand unto Yahweh and surname himself by the name of Israel. Then it's going to be others that's going to write it down and subscribe it, saying, look, I'm an Israelite, and you're going to call me an Israelite, and I'm even changing my name with the heathen's paperwork and make them call me an Israelite. You understand what I'm saying? So we have all of that in Israel right now today. But the main thing is to keep these commandments and believe in Yahweh Shah. But changing your name or being called by a Hebrew name is not a commandment. It's just what our people is just naturally doing today. You know, it's just naturally doing. We get back to who we are. It's a great thing that we're doing it. But we can't say that you're actually sinning if you're not changing your name.
Mhm. Makes sense.
Yeah, right. But we can say this. We can say you're sinning if you are calling the Almighty by a name that's not his.
Gotcha.
Exclusively, you know.
Mhm.
So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at on that, you know. Because there's some people, you'll find some people that they all have Hebrew names, but they still call the Almighty by a pagan name. It's like, wait a minute, let's start with the Most High first. Let's get the Most High's name right first. Let's sanctify the Almighty's name first. You
mm-hmm.
know? Yeah, that's what we should be at on that.
Okay. I asked that question, too, because I didn't know if it was, like, something I had to do down the road because I mean, I plan on doing my name eventually, but my daughter name, I wasn't quite sure how I wanted to juggle that, because when I chose her name, I actually chose it for the meaning. And then I wasn't actually in this truth. I was, you know, I guess I was in the seeking, the journey of, but I was more, I guess, African, you know. So her name is, her first name is like a African name, which means to seek, to stay in peace, seek knowledge and wisdom. And then her middle name is an Arabic name, which means to belong to God. So I didn't know, like, if, you know, that was something I had to have, you know, or I guess commanded to do in the book or whatnot. But you clarified that for me, Mark.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Oh,
sis.
Thank you,
I'm glad to hear that. All right. So, shalom. Thanks for calling. All right, so yeah, with that being said, you know, I just want to say, again, thanks for everybody for listening in to the show this week. You archive the show at any time, share it, you know what I mean, all over your social media, different things like that. Hopefully it's going to awaken some people to the Almighty's name. Hopefully it's going to awaken some people out of calling the Almighty by a name that is, doesn't belong to the Most High, and that the Almighty never said was his name, and that's pretty much the goal of this. And just went a little bit here and there with it, but it's many, many scriptures that testify to this fact. You can read scriptures about the Almighty's name all day long. So, again, archive it as well to get all the details for this summer gathering that we're having coming up soon. And just want to say thanks, everybody, for listening in. Israel Now Radio. Join us again next Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Same number. Shalom, shalom.